The Beautiful Story of Onesimus the Slave. Among those who gave their hearts to God in Rome was Onesimus, a pagan slave who had wronged his master, Philemon, a Christian believer in Colossae, and had escaped to Rome. In the kindness of his heart, Paul sought to relieve the distress of the wretched fugitive and then endeavored to shed the light of truth into his darkened mind. Onesimus listened, confessed his sins, and was converted to Christ. He endeared himself to Paul by his tender care for the apostles' comfort and his zeal in promoting the gospel. Paul saw in him a useful helper in missionary labor and counseled him to return without delay to Philemon, beg his forgiveness, and plan for the future. Being about to dispatch Tychicus with letters to various churches in Asia Minor, he sent Onesimus with him to the master he had wronged. It was a severe test, but this servant had been truly converted, and he did not turn aside from duty. Paul made Onesimus the bearer of a letter in which the apostle pleaded the cause of the repentant slave. He reminded Philemon that everything he possessed was due to the grace of Christ. This alone made him different from the perverse and the sinful. The same grace could make the debased criminal a child of God and a useful laborer in the gospel. The apostle asked Philemon to receive the repentant slave as his own child, no longer as a slave but more than a slave, as a beloved brother. He expressed his desire to retain Onesimus as one who could minister to him in his bonds as Philemon himself would have done, though he did not desire his services unless Philemon should of his own accord set the slave free. The apostle knew the severity which masters exercise toward their slaves. He knew also that Philemon was incensed because of the conduct of his servant. He tried to write in a way that would arouse his tenderest feelings as a Christian. Any punishment inflicted on this new convert would be regarded by Paul as inflicted on himself. Paul volunteered to assume the debt of Onesimus in order that the guilty one might be spared the disgrace of punishment. "If you consider me your partner," he wrote to Philemon, "receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand, I will repay it." How fitting an illustration of the love of Christ! The sinner who has robbed God of years of service has no means of canceling the debt. Jesus says, "I will pay the debt. I will suffer in his stead." Paul reminded Philemon how greatly he himself was indebted to the apostle. God had made Paul the instrument of his conversion. As he had by his liberalities refreshed the saints, so he would refresh the spirit of the apostle by granting this cause of rejoicing. "Confident of your obedience," he added, "I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say." Paul's letter to Philemon shows the influence of the gospel upon the relation between master and servant. Slaveholding was an established institution throughout the Roman Empire, and masters and slaves were found in most churches for which Paul labored. In the cities where slaves often greatly outnumbered the free population, laws of terrible severity were regarded as necessary to keep slaves in subjection. A wealthy Roman often owned hundreds. With full control over the souls and bodies of these helpless beings, he could inflict on them any suffering he chose. If one in retaliation or self-defense ventured to raise a hand against his owner, the whole family of the offender might be inhumanely sacrificed. Some masters were more humane than others, but the vast majority, given up to lust, passion, and appetite, made their slaves the wretched victims of tyranny. The whole system was hopelessly degrading. It was not the apostles' work suddenly to overturn the established order of society. To attempt this would be to prevent the success of the gospel. But he taught principles which struck at the foundation of slavery and would surely undermine the whole system. "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." When converted, the slave became a member of the body of Christ, to be loved and treated as a brother, a fellow heir with his master to the blessings of God. On the other hand, servants were to perform their duties not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Master and slave, king and subject, have been washed in the same blood, quickened by the same Spirit, and they are one in Christ.